Sky Sports Radio. It's time for Going Greyhounds. With all the news from kennels and courses around the country, here's Mark Duclos.
And the Duke joins us at 29-11 on what could be an interesting week in greyhound racing, I think, Duke.
Good morning to you, Cozzy. You're dead right. It could be a very interesting week. And coming up very shortly, we will speak with Andrew Clennell, who is the state political editor for the Daily Telegraph, who has been on the case as far as the greyhound racing ban by the Baird government is concerned for a long while now. And Andrew will bring us up to date with what's happening as far as that's concerned. Before we speak to Andrew Clennell, let's just take a quick look at the feature race results that have been held over the past few days. The Gold Coast Cup heats were held at Albion Park on Thursday night. Tony Brett qualified 4 for the final. She's a keen size, the fastest qualifier in 29.61, and it is $2.60 favourite with tab.com.au to win the final on Thursday night. The Group 3 Mandra Cup heats, Chris House qualified 5 in the final. Funboss, the fastest qualifier there at 27.48. The Group 1 Adelaide Cup was held on Friday night at Angle Park, and Aqua Cheetah for Jason Thompson defeated Wormburner and Dinah Boomer, and it was the third Adelaide Cup for Jason Thompson. Saturday night at Wentworth Park, a real rough result. Appetite for Joanne Price at odds of $48 on the New South Wales tote defeated Miss Foxy Lee and Ring the Bell. And we've got the Group 3 Nowra Puppy Classic final to be held this afternoon. So I'm about to speak with Andrew Clennell. Luke Foley, the New South Wales state opposition leader, will also join us, and Andy Lord a little bit later. But it is building to fever pitch in New South Wales in regards to the greyhound ban that was introduced by the Baird government on July the 7th, introduced via Facebook. And as I said, one man who has been leading the charge for the News Corp and Daily Telegraph is the state political editor, Andrew Clennell. He joins us on Going Greyhounds this morning. Good morning, Andrew.
How are you, Mark?
I think I could be okay this week. I'm trying to abate it. Look, there are thousands of people, and most of them are greyhound people, that listen to this program, Andrew, and their question is quite simple. Will this ban be reversed tomorrow?
Yes.
Well, that's easy. Thanks for your time, Andrew Clennell. What's the process? What is the process now?
You know, it won't be without its caveats. So, all greyhound lovers, buy your Telegraph today, and they're all in there, but I'll give you a quick rundown. What's been obviously told to me is that, you know, it'll be along the lines of what the Greyhound Alliance has suggested in order to keep the industry open, which means a cap on breeding, full monitoring of greyhounds through the entire life cycle from birth through to death, and that, you know, there's none of this killing retired dogs or dogs that aren't fast enough. So, and, you know, heavy bans for doing the wrong thing. So, look, you know, it'll be a different industry to what we had, but thank goodness, I suppose, for common sense, that it won't be just, you know, a few people have been doing the wrong thing, so the whole thing has to shut. I mean, that just didn't seem right. Never did. No consultation in it. This will be sort of a middle road.
Was it simply a case that Troy Grant, Mike Baird and the government, they wanted this bad news story off the news agenda? Is that the reason for the backflip?
I think you'd have to say that's part of it. I mean, if your government's in paralysis because you're dealing so much with crisis after crisis over this, you know, that's not a great way to govern the state. You know, but on the other hand, the bigger problem was disunity within the government, opposition within the government, particularly the National Party, and the thought that a deputy premier could get rolled over it. That was a distinct possibility if they didn't reverse. And that would have made them look like an absolute, if you excuse the expression, dog's breakfast. You know, so, look, I think that, you know, it's just so much easier to give the industry another chance and to say, look, you know, from Baird's point of view, if he really believes in this, which he obviously does, to say, well, let's crack down on animal cruelty instead and let's change the industry, but not break it, not end it. And I think that's what we're about to see. In fact, I know that's what we're about to see tomorrow. The reason it's tomorrow is Cabinet is not until tomorrow.
Andrew, will reversing the ban be enough to save Troy Grant as leader of the Nationals? Because my mail is Barnaby Joyce fronted him 3 or 4 days ago and said that he was causing irreparable damage to the Nationals brand federally. So if Mike Baird does reverse the ban, will Troy Grant stay on as leader of the Nationals?
Yes, he will. And look, you know, that's the main reason why people wanted to challenge him at the moment. Whether an Orange by-election, a bad result, changes that again, I don't know. But I would have thought he'd be safe after this, because from his members' point of view, he's done the right thing. He'll still be under a bit of heat. And, you know, if he stumbles again, he'll be stuffed. But, you know, the reality of politics, and that's interesting, Mail, I might have to chase that, Mark, is that Barnaby Joyce has no influence over Troy Grant. He's the federal leader. Troy Grant is the state leader. The people who vote in the state leader, apart from the electorate, are the members of his party room. Barnaby Joyce isn't in his party room. So whether Barnaby and Troy don't like each other, and they haven't liked each other for a while, is my understanding, is kind of not really relevant.
There must be an impact on the Nationals brand, but because all the chat is, you know, the effect this will have on regional and country New South Wales and the National Party MPs that had the chance to vote against legislation, and suddenly, all of a sudden, they go, oh, no, we don't agree with this ban. And as I say, it's that Nationals brand federally that is probably also taking a hit.
Well, there's two elements to that. The first is we'll see in the Orange by-election, because we'll see if voters say, well, this is all very cynical, we'll vote against you anyway. So that will be a big litmus test on November 12th. But the second thing is, can the public bag them too much when they've listened and they're changing direction? Surely the public should be saying, well, at least you listened when you did the wrong thing. You know, people make mistakes. These guys certainly did. It looks like they're about to correct it.
That Orange by-election is on November the 12th. They held a 22% margin on a two-party preferred vote, a seat that they've held since 1937. I mentioned last week on the program, if anyone had said 6 months ago they were in danger of losing Orange, they would have locked you up and thrown away the key.
Mm.
Is that still the case? If they reverse the ban, will they keep Orange? If they don't reverse the ban, do they lose Orange?
Yeah. I think that's exactly the situation.
Yeah.
Because I think it was line ball anyway. Like, if they were going to lose it, they were just going to lose it. So once you reverse the ban, you probably claw back 4% or 5% maybe. Look, bear in mind the average by-election swing against the government in New South Wales is 15%. So you only need another 6.6% to lose that seat. And I couldn't have summed it up more beautifully than your question. Don't reverse the ban. Lose. Possibly. Reverse the ban. Don't lose.
Troy Grant is the Racing Minister, the Deputy Premier and the Police Minister. Given that he's sat over this and in an overarching role, obviously, with Mike Baird, is his position as Racing Minister now untenable? Or, again, is it a case of, well, he's made this decision along with Mike Baird, they move forward, he maintains that portfolio?
I think they'll move forward for the time being. But I think there's always been a reshuffle planned around January, and I think he'll move on from racing then. And it wouldn't it be interesting to see John Barilaro or Noel Blair, one of those guys who've been taking the ball up on greyhounds, then be given the job and said, okay, well, we want to clean up the industry without shutting it, you do that. That would be quite interesting, and that may well happen, I think.
It's funny that you mentioned John Barilaro, who appointed Troy Grant as godfather to his first child, I think it was yesterday. The talk was that he or, you know, a couple of the other members were going to challenge Troy Grant.
Yeah.
Moving forward with this, will Mike Baird ever look to ban an industry again, Andrew Clunnell?
No.
How much damage has it caused Mike Baird, given that the next election isn't until 2019? Does it give him enough time?
Well, not that much if he reverses, which he's going to. You know, enough to take a lot of skin off, but he can still win the election because he reversed it. He's just got to be very careful now not to let his own personal views interfere too much. And, you know, dictate to everyone else. He's got to be more considered. You know, it's one thing to go ahead with the sale of Poles and Wires because that doesn't really hurt that many people. It doesn't hurt anyone, you know, and then you get the money for infrastructure. With this, you just don't have that. So you're actually hurting a lot of people and you're creating a sense that you're moralising or you're lecturing. And, you know, Australians don't want that. So, look, I think he'll be fine in 2019 if he wants to stay that long. That's just my opinion at the moment. Who knows where they'll trip up down the track.
As I said, you've been on this case, particularly in the last month or so. For you personally, obviously, this is what you do. You live, eat, sleep and breathe, you know, state politics and that. How big is this in the whole spectrum of things as far as New South Wales government is concerned?
Well, it's massive, isn't it? You know, it's one of the biggest stories I've covered, and I've been there near 11, 12 years. Because, you know, when do you ever see an industry banned?
Yeah.
You know, I think it was interesting. Someone pointed out to me that there was this Howard on Menzies program on recently on the ABC, and that Howard said that John Howard said that both his parents were real Menzies supporters, and that at one point Menzies banned the communist or moved to ban the Communist Party unsuccessfully, and he said that was the only time that his mother said she was disagreed with Menzies and bagged Menzies. And I think there's a lesson in that, because people just don't want, they love living in a democracy. They don't want to see things carte blanche banned. And, you know, obviously John Howard's mother wouldn't have wanted the Communist Party around, but that wasn't the point, was it? And that's why this is such a big political deal. The other thing that always puzzled me about this, Mark, was it was going to be legal in Queensland and Victoria. So what was the point of the ban?
After they'd done independent reports in both of those states.
Yeah, and it was like, well, okay, the industry's so damn cruel. Why is it legal in the other states? And why can I go down the tab and have a punt on it in other states? I mean, it just didn't make any sense. If he wanted to do this, you think he should have gone to COAG and said, let's have a national approach on this, whatever we're going to do with the industry. Instead, he's just come out and said, most people wouldn't have even known the Special Commission of Inquiry was on. You know, and said, well, I'm banning something. Goodness me. And look, icing on the cake on Saturday when we had the story of the Four Corners executive producer.
Yes.
Who's since retired, but who was in charge of that program, saying it was never our intention to ban an industry. You know? If it wasn't even their intention, what the hell's he doing it for?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been quoted as, or other media commentators as well, has quoted him, Mike Baird, to be a conviction premier, meaning that obviously a lot of the decisions he makes, he believes are morally correct. And I've mentioned on this program in the past that we put governments in, we don't always expect them to make popular decisions, but we do expect them to make right decisions.
Yeah, and some of the rhetoric that's come from Mike, I mean, look, Mike Baird, I think, is a decent person. He's just made some mistakes, you know, and it's not like he's acted out of malevolence with this ban. He thought he was doing the right thing. You know, he was misguided. But one of the worst parts of the rhetoric that he's been coming forward with, frankly, is this business of, I'm not here to make the popular decisions, I'm here to make the tough decisions. Well, what a stupid phrase. I mean, basically that says, I'm not here to do what the people want. Well, the people elect you, buddy. So, you know, we don't mind the odd tough decision for the financial health of the state, but don't just make a whole bunch of unpopular decisions, because then you won't be doing what the public wants, and this is a democracy.
Andrew, with the news poll results, is that the catalyst for them to change it? We saw last week his popularity had slid dramatically.
Good question, because when Baird came out after that, because it was 51-49, he seemed quite buoyant and seemed to be sticking with the ban. But I think what happened then was the Nationals said, well, hang on, mate, we might be ahead statewide, but we're going to lose our seats if you believe this poll, and made him see a bit of sense over it. So the Libs aren't that hassle, apart from one or two like Kevin Connolly up in the Hawkesbury, because they don't have those sort of greyhound, they don't represent those greyhound racing areas, Or also Western Sydney, Stuart Ayres was pretty exercised on it, I think, and Tanya Davies might have been in trouble in Mulgoa. But by and large, the Libs, the North Shore Libs and etc., aren't too exercised, but everyone else in those seats that matter are, and that's why we've come to where we're getting tomorrow.
Mike Baird appointed Dr. John Kennery to conduct a transition task force report into the industry. That was due out this week. Will that just float into the ether now?
Well, good question. I mean, whether they release it alongside their decision saying, Kennery said it was too hard to ban because we already revealed that he attempted to resign and said that he was opposing the industry. I don't know. But, it's a good question. I mean... What are they going to do? Imagine if they go, oh, sorry, Dr. Kennery, your service is no longer required. I mean, probably do.
What about the $5 or $6 million comic book, which was the Special Commission of Inquiry report? I mean, what do they do there? They had 80 recommendations. They took one, ignored 79 of them. Do they now go back to that and go, okay, let's go through this from steps 2 to 80 and forget about option one?
Well, they could argue that, look, at least it highlighted wastage and we're acting on that. So it had that purpose.
Andrew Clennell, you've done a sterling job, and I can tell you that so many greyhound racing participants would like me to thank you. And let's just hope that tomorrow is D-Day. and it's a day that a lot of smiles will be seen on greyhound racing participants' faces, not just in New South Wales, but around Australia. I congratulate you on your story, mate.
Thank you very much, Mark. Appreciate it, mate.
Andrew Clennell there, and as I said, his reporting on this has been outstanding. He has, like Ray Hadley and like Alan Jones, he has been fervent in his support of the greyhound racing industry as far as this ban is to be overturned. And he reports in the Daily Telegraph this morning that it will be reversed this morning, tomorrow, I should say, when Cabinet resumes. One man who will ensure that that happens is Luke Foley, the New South Wales State Opposition Leader. Good morning, Luke.
Hello, Mark.
The Labor government, notwithstanding that, you will lodge a repeal motion to have the greyhound ban reversed?
Yeah, we will. I just think we're on the verge of a great victory here. We've come a long way, haven't we, since since you first had me on your show 13 Mondays ago.
Yeah.
And this campaign from the industry, and I've just been so proud to stand with these people and stand up for them, try and give them a voice in the parliament. This campaign has taken off like a bushfire in regional New South Wales, and a premier who's never, ever wrong about anything, who has never backed down on anything, I think is on the verge now of having to eat humble pie and give these people, the thousands of participants in the industry, a fair go, which is all they've ever asked for.
Look, your exposure to greyhound racing before the ban was announced was fairly limited, and you put your hand up and said that, but it wasn't so much that you only jumped on board because as many people thought it may have been political opportunism. You were there from the outset, from day dot when the ban was announced. You came out and said on Going Greyhounds on the Monday following that ban announcement that Labor will support the greyhound racing industry with reforms in place if Mike Baird was to ban it. And you have not wavered one iota since then.
No, and Mark, I made a very long speech in the parliament that terrible
2 hours and 10 minutes it was, Luke Foley.
Yeah, if you ever have a problem with insomnia, just go and read my speech. Put you to sleep, but I tried to establish the principles at stake here, and my view is it's not the role of government to be outlawing entire industries. Clean them up where industries have problems. I mean, my party historically intervened to ensure minimum wages, occupational health and safety laws, limits to pollution. There's a role for government in regulating industry and ensuring that it can't just do whatever it wants. And I think when it comes to thoroughbreds, harness racing, greyhound racing, or indeed our primary industries, where there's a large number of animals, the role of government's to ensure that animal cruelty is stamped out, that there's high standards when it comes to animal welfare, that's the role of government. But the principle that a premier at a whim can just, with a stroke of a pen or the click of a Facebook post, outlaw an entire industry that provides a livelihood to thousands of citizens is just not on.
Do you think Mike Baird will hold a press conference tomorrow, or do you think he'll announce it via Facebook, Luke?
I suspect he's learnt the hard way. That I mean, let's be honest, he was chasing a bit of love on social media and thought an animal liberationist type announcement would get him a lot of likes on Facebook. And I think part of the reaction from participants was, how dare you announce this in this way? You're just treating us with contempt. And I have to say, I've felt all the way through there's been an element of elitism here. They wouldn't try this on rich participants in thoroughbred racing, thoroughbred horse racing. They thought here that this is a vulnerable and perhaps
an easy target.
An easy target, not a powerful group of people. Well, it might be the people in greyhound racing have proven, I mean, it's the mouse that roared, I think, Mark.
Certainly is. Can you explain to our listeners, Luke, what the likely scenario is and what the processes are? Because, as I said, the Labor government, you will look to introduce a repeal to this to have the greyhound ban reversed. But what happens? Does Mike Baird inform you tomorrow, or is this something that you, like everyone else, you just wait to hear?
Yeah, we'll wait and hear. I assume Cabinet will sign off on something it'll go to the Liberals and the Nationals, and then there'll be a press conference. And there'll have to be legislation. What I won't cop is a stay of execution to get Troy Grant off the hook.
So a complete reversal of the ban.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't trust this bloke. He's told us for 3 months this is a matter of greatest principle for him, shutting down greyhound racing, that he won't budge. Now he's budging when his deputy's leadership's on the line, when a by-election could be lost in 5 weeks' time. So I won't cop a stay of execution just to get him through a difficult by-election. If he says he's kicking the ban out to 2019 or 2020, he's just trying to get through the next election, and you know if he's re-elected, he'll move to shut the industry down. So it needs to be a complete reversal, and then we can all sit down and come up with a plan. As you said in your interview with Andrew Clonell a few minutes ago, or as he said, there were 79 other recommendations. Where we can talk about regulating the industry to high standards of animal welfare. Everyone's up for that. Everyone's up for that.
I can't see him putting a sunset clause in place only because it would then become an election issue. And we've seen the damage that has caused to the coalition party, the Nationals and Troy Grant and to Mike Baird himself personally. So if they want to say, well, we'll review it in 2019, 2020, it then becomes an election issue because you won't let go of this.
No, I certainly won't. And other states, I mean, I've spoken to the premiers and racing ministers in Queensland and Victoria, South Australia. They're reforming greyhound racing, and that's fine. And perhaps there should be national consistency as to how that's done. But we don't need to have talk of a ban. We do need to have very strong sanctions for the small minority of people who do the wrong thing.
Which exist in any industry, Luke.
Exactly. And I think here there also has to be a consistent approach to all of the industries that deal with animals. Because one of the things that's really, I think, stuck in the craw of greyhound people, and so even the other day when I was at the Canamble Carnival last Monday on the public holiday, people were saying this to me all day, why are we singled out? Why is it the greyhound people singled out? There has to be a kind of common regulatory approach when it comes to animal welfare across all of the industries, whether they're agricultural industries or the racing codes, that has benchmarks when it comes to the welfare of animals.
Well, we will wait and see the events that may take place in New South Wales Parliament when it resumes tomorrow. Luke Foley, again, from all the greyhound racing participants, we thank you. We thank the Labor Party for the support that you've shown the industry. And I can assure you this, it will not be forgotten.
Well, thanks, Mark, and we'll keep working together on this.
Good man. Luke Foley there, New South Wales opposition leader. Let's talk a little bit of racing because tonight we have the Group 3 Nowra Puppy Classic to be held, and the favourite from box number 5 is Got a Motor. It's currently $2.80 with tab.com.au, prepared by Jody Lord. And the other half of the Lord combination is now online with us on Going Greyhounds, Andy Lord. Good morning, Andy.
How are you, Marcus?
I'm very well. You must be feeling fairly chipper about what Andrew Clonell and what Luke Foley has just said.
You'd have to say it's life-changing, wouldn't you?
Well, it was going to be life-changing one way or another.
Exactly right.
Let's talk about Got a Motor. He certainly has got a motor. He ran 29.82, the fastest of the semi-finals last Monday. He's got box 5, Andy. What do you make of the draw?
I don't mind the draw. I mean, there's a little bit of pace around him. I mean, you can't avoid that. I mean, if he had the pink box, I'd be wrapped. But box 5's all right for him. I mean, he doesn't really like the inside. He likes to use, you know, he goes straight, but he likes to use a little bit of the track. And he's got some pace, so.
You've always had a bit of an opinion of him. Yeah, he's by Collision out of Sizzling Osti, owned by Ashley Dwyer. I know the kennel's had an opinion of him. How far do you think he can go, basically?
It's a little bit early still to tell, but, I mean, Collisions, one thing I've learned about Collisions, they improve with age. And, I mean, Teflon Tommy and dogs like that, they're the same. They just keep improving and let it develop another one. I mean, you know, when they hit 2.5 is when you really know how good they are.
He's well versed at the narrow track. He's I think he's had three or four starts there now, but obviously his win last week was his best. Again, you're just looking for a little bit of clear running in the early stages, and hopefully the Group 3 Narrow Puppy Classic will head back to the Lord Kennel.
Yeah, well, it's like anything, I suppose. I mean, you've got to have that little bit of luck early. Look, there's some good dogs in it. There's I think a fellow from down at Bega by the name of Bill Richards has got 3 in the final, and if I didn't win it, I'd love to see him win it, as he bred the litter and reared it, and he's a good old bloke. And so, mate, whoever wins, good luck.
Yep.
If I win, great luck.
Good man. Andy Lloyd, thanks for joining us on Going Greyhounds this morning.
Thank you.
And as I said, Got a Motor is the $2.80 favourite with tab.com.au fixed odds. Second pick off the inside, Lucky Gambler for Christine Oldfield at $3.20. And then we go to Shy Gambler for Jason Magri from Box 4. It is at $5.50. As I say, we will wait. Tomorrow, I can tell you, there'll be plenty of people finding it very difficult to get to sleep tonight in anticipation of what may happen in the New South Wales Parliament tomorrow, Cozzy, because as much as we had despair on July the 7th when Mike Baird announced the Greyhound ban, tomorrow it could be a simple case of, you know, that despair turning to jubilation. We've had a number of, you know, commentators speak about the ban in regards to the future of the industry and breeding caps being applied. And I just want to issue this caution that, you know, we need to think long and hard about where this industry is going to go, because you can't just make a rash decision to say, oh, yeah, we'll cop this. We need consultation. And that's one thing that the government's lacked in announcing the ban and then going forward with it. There has been very little consultation. So let's hope that that is one of the things that is very, very prevalent moving forward. We will have the Catching Pen tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m., a big show there. We'll also announce the feels for the Top Gun, the Group 1 Top Gun Sprint, and the Group 2 Top Gun Stays. They will be held at the Meadows on Saturday, October the 22nd. And don't forget about our new preview program at the Boxes. We kicked off last week with our expert Jamie Ennis. He had a field night as far as the punt was concerned. So at the Boxes, Wednesday night, 6 p.m, Sky Racing 2. The Top Gun feels announced tomorrow night on the Catching Pen.
Good on you, Mark. We'll look forward to tomorrow, the news, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Cozzy.